Hi, I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are part of Bell Street,
who are an events band and theatre company.
And we're here to talk to you about our fun and failures.
On our journey from being scared to just doing it anyway.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. We're in a different venue tonight. Mm-hmm. The Black Cactus in Shaftesbury have very kindly let us use their space, basically, because if you listen to the last episode, my dog is annoying.
Yeah, she is.
Are they dog therapists? I don't know, because she only knows to start whining when we start recording.
It is a really strange thing. It doesn't matter what we do, we can just talk like this, and then as soon as we press record, she runs around, taps on the window,
jumps up. A nightmare. Anyway, so we're in a much nicer environment tonight. Tonight's episode, we normally say today, tonight's episode is a good one, isn't it?
Well, it's one that we have wanted to talk about and discuss right from when we talked about the podcast being a thing.
Yeah, when we literally, the titles, what shall we do?
Yeah, and we're aware that we've spent the last few, if you've listened to the previous ones, just talking and laughing our way through it, which we will as well this evening.
Yes, we have got a little cheeky Prosecco tonight because off of the rule of recording in the evening. So do a little cheers. Join us at home if you're not driving or unless it's 8 a.m. So we thought we'd illustrate the beginning of this podcast with a little story
time. Take you back to 2021.
Right. And we were directing a pantomime.
We were, yeah.
And we had to think of a sign-off name for all of our emails. And for some reason, we decided to sign off our names. Instead of Susan and Joni, we signed off as Magic and Tragic.
Yeah. We're never quite sure which one was going to be which.
Well, that was the point, wasn't it?
Day to day.
Yeah, we took it in turns. And we like to bring the magic, but there's also that little balance of
Tragedy.
And that is the two sides of drama, isn't it? If you think of the theatre mask, there's the comedy and the tragedy. And sorry to be extreme, but tonight what we want to talk about is actually the tragedy.
Yeah. So our theme really for the evening is performing through trauma. There's no other way of...
No, there's no clever title for it, is there? But we tricked them because we won't call them that podcast. Podcast that title.
No,
surprise.
Yeah. So, as creatives, you do have to show up.
You do have to show up
with your creative project, or whether you're employed or whether you're doing it for your own thing. And that can be really hard when you're going through something where you don't want to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was thinking about this podcast before we came to this beautiful place today, I was thinking about all the different times when, as a duo, we have had to kind of really muster the strength from somewhere and keep going.
Dig deep. That's what you had to do, isn't it?
And the first example we thought of was actually COVID. When COVID happened and lockdown happened, we were really just coming into our stride as an act. We were a trio and we were doing some duo gigs. We'd written our parody musical. We had dates booked in and we'd begun to dare to imagine that we might tour it. And it was an exciting time. And then suddenly, COVID comes in, lockdown's in. You describe it as the dates slowly dropping off the calendar. And then we're in. We were rehearsing, weren't we, the night that they announced, you stay in your homes. And we kind of all just laughed like, oh, shit.
We had a quick hug, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And then I thought maybe I'd get arrested on the way home.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was like, you've got to be in. I was like,
Yeah, and no one, I was like, oh my gosh, is it going to be like the plague or something? I really, I hadn't really taken it seriously. Anyway, so that was a shock. And then what that did was, after you realised it wasn't just going to be a couple of weeks, really made you question everything you were doing and mourn the loss. I'm sure if you're listening to this and you're a creative person, you lost something during lockdown. Well, yeah, true. But I just mean in terms of, yes, you're right, actually. Sod that. Anybody. But I guess I'm thinking of creative people in terms of...
In the arts.
In the arts. It was kind of just... They were the first things that started to get cancelled. The first thing they said was, don't go to the theatre. That was one of the first, before lockdown. Mm. And we lost all that we were working towards. And it was massive. You can call it trauma if you like. It was a massive deal.
Yeah.
And trying to find our way through that as individuals was really difficult. And
but what we did decide was to carry on.
Yeah. Illegally. No, not really. We didn't carry on illegally.
But we did have, as many people did, got onto the internet and used that platform, which was great. But it would have been so easy to stop.
Yeah.
It really would have been. And we wouldn't have started again.
No, and we were aiming the whole time at when things open, what can we do? As I'm sure everyone was forced to be more creative about their approach to everything, all businesses were, whether it was a creative one or not. And that was when I think we really both noticed that thing in us of just like, we must keep going. We must keep trying.
Yeah.
As we said in our first podcast, actually, because of that attitude of trying to think of how we can keep going, trying to think of what we can do, how can we make this work, as soon as we were allowed to do any kind of performing, we were ready and like on it. Mm. So I'm glad. I'm glad that
and
we
a
did
lot
it.
Of people do say, oh, it must have been, you know, an awful time and, you know, the gigs dried up. Well, yes, because everyone's gigs dried up, but we continued to work throughout the whole thing, whether it was online or as soon as we were allowed out, to the smallest amount of people in their gardens or in a field or something, and people booked us and it was great. And then as soon as it was extended to the next amount of people, your 30 maximum.
30, that was a magic number, wasn't it?
and so actually we had loads of rehearsal time, we had loads of FaceTime, we had a load of frustration time, but it gave us a lot of new skills. So very grateful for elements. It's not ideal, obviously.
Wasn't ideal.
But we did the best we could with the awfulness that was going on around us.
I think a lot of creative people actually really thrived.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to various things of... Oh, this is a bit of a tangent, but a podcast of...
Has it got goats in it?
No goats. Podcast about new musicals done by the other... Is it the other palace or the other place? Theatre in Leicester Square. I'll edit out the right one. and they do a series on new musicals. And I've been listening to the episodes from about a year ago. And nearly everyone they interview says, I wrote this in lockdown. Mm-hmm. I wrote this with my partner in lockdown because we were stuck together and we don't normally work together, so we wrote this together. Mm. Diana Untrue Untold, who we've, you know, Awkward Production, that was a result of a lockdown project performance. So I think creative people actually, in times of pressure, do think outside the box of what they can offer.
Yeah.
But we have gone down a little tangent there.
Yeah. Small one.
But even just if you're a performer and you just have an awful month or an awful few months, you know, tragic, like, breakups. Breakups are the worst if you're a singer, I think, because you have your heart broken.
Yeah.
And then all you want to do is hide under a duvet and be ugly. Or not speak to anybody, or just be hammered. And you have to get up on a stage, look good, and then sing epic love songs.
Or about heartbreak.
All songs are about love or heartbreak.
Yeah.
And it's awful. if you're really heartbroken or if you go through something crap with a partner,
yeah,
and you have to show up and perform through it, and maybe your partner will show up and you still have to perform through it. Nobody knows. But it's, you do just, you have to find it in you somewhere, you know, to keep going in something like that, which is, you know, just an
everyday
thing.
And that is also where some of the best work is written from your traumatic creative state, because your raw emotion, whatever you're doing, creative, you're dancing, you're writing, you're performing, it comes from just that rawness. We spoke to a friend of mine that I went to university with, who's an actor. One of his quotes was that after massive trauma, at least now he can visit that place to cry on stage. Before, it was always a bit tricky. It's finding that place to pull on your own experience
and not let it overtake.
Yes, well,
yeah. We had to do a gig at a funeral once. I've failed that one. I really did. I mean, I think I normally manage to keep it together, whatever's happening in my life, but I didn't do very well on that. And now I was the opening line, and you had to swoop in, didn't you?
Well, I am a bit stoic when it comes to that sort of thing, only yes. because I have sung at many funerals from being in the church choir and also being brought up to be told to just get on with it. And
yeah.
So actually being told no one wants to see that at a funeral. But I do find it quite easy to dig deep, as I found out last year, and get on with it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards go and have a meltdown in the corner.
So if you want to really book hard. Bell Street for a funeral, don't. Just book Susan. She's a great solo artist.
But don't expect to see me afterwards.
I'll come and talk to you afterwards, because I'll have had a good cry to your song. So the reason, I know we're going on and on, we're trying to find relatable things for you, the viewers at home.
And trying not to make it morbid.
Yes. We're very aware that this could be a very morbid podcast. The reason we want to do this podcast is because the last year and a half, between the two of us, there's been a ton of shit, basically. There's no nicer way to put it, that has gone on. And we have had one of our, well, it's been our busiest time as a company. We were producing and trying to tour and then launching Hue. We obviously had our normal gigs and things. And I think really what we wanted to do is just talk out loud about how we got through it.
This is our own therapy
this
session.
This is our week, like we
everyone
said
else
earlier,
has to listen to.
We can't afford it. You guys can join in.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically in September of 2022, one of my children was very ill and she was in hospital for a very, very long time.
And very far away.
And it was a very frustrating situation where she really wasn't getting the help she needed. And that was happening whilst we were working, trying to rehearse, trying to
put Hue out, get Hue ready,
and cope with the Christmas season. My daughter wasn't here around the Christmas season and we didn't know what was going to be happening, and it was really, really crap. But we kept gigging.
Yeah.
And then she came home and
which was an adjustment in itself.
It was an adjustment because our lives had changed massively and we were getting ready to launch Hue. So that was quite a big deal that we had been handling as a business, as well as friends and personally.
And we also were trying to apply for an arts grant that we didn't get. That was stressful.
Do you know, that might have been more stressful.
That was a trauma in itself.
Yeah, arts grants should be a podcast we do.
Absolutely. So we just about found our feet, sort of, with that. And we booked our launch for Hue the Musical and a few tour dates. and we had a lovely article that was put out.
Dorset Life.
By Tiggy Walker, which was brilliant. And we were really looking forward to it. And and then my mum died, just like that.
Mm.
We had about a week of her being in hospital and me running up and down to see her. And then she decided to die. So that was really...
It's just a really interesting way to phrase
well,
it.
Well, I know, but you know what? It's annoying. Because she also, as a number one supporter of us and me, it was really inconvenient. And what do you do? Because I had my dad to look after as well. And we, after I'd spent a few days down with him, I came back up to have our rehearsal day, catch up, meeting, whatever. And there was this sort of weird
elephant.
Yeah, a weird elephant in the room. Because, you know, we are friends and we, you know.
We are friends. That's a relief, isn't it?
There's that wonderful supportive side. But actually, on the work element, not elephant, what were we going to do?
Yeah.
And
we had to make a decision because everything was so close.
Yeah.
Like weeks away close.
Yeah. So she died on the 1st of February. We had our first Hugh the Musical debut booked for the
launch.
Was it the Friday or the Saturday? The 25th or something. And we sat there and we both decided that we should go ahead and that she would want us to. She was a hard worker, she was a performer, she was a musician. So then I knew that if I could book the funeral after the launch, which actually they gave me that date as an option, the 27th, I was like, yeah, I can do that. I can carry that through. I'm just going to organise an event for 150 people, 200 people, whatever. And we decided to do it. And I was saying to you earlier that I did need to sort of ask permission of family and people that it was okay for me to carry on performing and being. Or was I being disrespectful for not going and staying in the house and whatever? But you have to get on.
Yeah.
Sometimes for some normality for yourself.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about. The kind of catharsis of it.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of the time people talk about catharsis for audiences, but it's the catharsis is there for performers as well. Well, do you want to read what Ben said?
Mm. So again, Ben has said that we can quote Ben Hurley, who is a lovely actor, friend of mine, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying he lost both of his parents in quite a short space of time. So Ben says, having a performance in the calendar is almost like having the funeral to look forward to, although you're not looking forward to the funeral, obviously. But it gives you a focus, something to work towards, so that it stops you from just sitting in your grief. And he says, I didn't have time to be completely sad because I knew in the back of my mind, I also had to get my shit together and I had a job to do. We were just saying about the fact that actually performing, that some people choose that, you know, you have to come away sometimes and have your space and have your time. But actually, sometimes it can be an outlet to go into the performing, singing, reading, dancing, acting, whatever, gives you some focus. And the opportunity to put a mask on and escape in that moment. And actually having a performance sort of on the calendar, so it does give you something to work towards. Because you do need to have whatever sort of tragedy, whatever sort of trauma you're going through, to sit and dwell on it. It's almost worse than being able to have a little bit of a goal to move forwards. Otherwise you're just sat in the grief, really. That's how we've felt with different trauma events. And trauma is a big word. The smallest situation that just creates that feeling inside of you of loss, of exhaustion, of anxiety, or it can be the biggest event that you've had in your life, but still of loss, exhaustion, anxiety. So
it's very relative. To you and where you are in your life. And they say there's like, you can have trauma with a big T or a little T, but either way, It's trauma, you know. And we're just using that as a word to describe a shit show.
Yeah. And do you choose to keep moving forwards with where you are? Or do you choose to have a step back? If we hadn't carried on with Hugh and we'd pulled out of that performance, we've both agreed that our musical wouldn't have happened.
I think it's something we both knew without saying it out loud until we'd made the decision. But we are very like that, both of us. And that's why we are lucky to have each other and be so similar in that way, is that this getting on with it and still creating and doing the performing is how we cope with things. It's actually, for me, a kind of meditation. When people say when they run or, you know, they meditate or their mind goes quiet, I feel that way when I'm creating something or when I'm acting or when I'm performing. So I do find singing a bit more effort to kind of
emotive,
zone
yeah.
out. But I guess that's because you aren't playing as much of a character. Whereas with Hugh, obviously we could become these two people. And we were saying what's interesting about Hugh is we probably wouldn't write those characters like they are now. But Hugh, if you've seen it, is a chaotic,
manic.
Fast-paced, manic musical where you are just not sure what's happening next and then it's over. And that is a real reflection of how our lives were in kind of putting that together. Our lives were very, very chaotic, manic, high stressed, at the very peak of what we could about cope with. That's what our lives were like. So that's what we produced. And the catharsis of it being funny, ridiculous, laughing at each other in that context was like therapy. You know, you could put those feelings into those characters in a safe way.
We were talking about being able to show up when everything's falling apart around you. There seems to be quite often suggestion maybe that actually stopping should be the best thing. Obviously you need time. People need time with whatever they're dealing with. And counselling. And yes. You know, I mean,
yeah. And a supportive network.
And you do. I am amazingly, wonderfully grateful for my supportive network around here. Quite a big part of being you. But there is a big part that says you should stop. Take your time. And actually, showing up, keeping hold of your normality, of your project, of your creativity, can be a little bit of control for you when everything else is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the same if you're not in the creative world, but
we're only in this world.
We are only in this, yeah. But being able to keep your decisions as well and being able to say yes or no, and if you want to show up, it can feel a bit selfish maybe.
Mm. Well, I was saying, wasn't I, that when I was dealing things with my daughter, apart from with you, I didn't hear the narrative anywhere of it's okay to still show up. Really, I felt the pressure to drop everything. And even saying it out loud, I feel like I need to justify that. Because obviously, I prioritised my daughter. We worked around things. We shuffled things around. You were great. We moved things all the time. Things had to be really flexible. But the thought of showing up and still rehearsing, still writing, still booking dates, that felt like quite a weird thing for me to be doing. But I never felt any judgment from you about it. And I think maybe one of the reasons we wanted to make this podcast was in case you feel like that. Because it definitely isn't out there. There is so much saying, you know, it's okay to not show up. It's okay to retreat. And it's okay. And it is okay. It absolutely is okay. But it's also okay to keep going, if you need to, if what you're keeping going at is giving you life and is giving you energy. If something's draining the energy out of you, then absolutely, you can tell. That is not the right thing for you to be showing up for. But if something is helping you through something, if something is keeping you getting up and living and not running away, then absolutely show up for it. And I think that more people should say that. We were saying there's no should. No. You should do this, you should do that. It's okay to take a break, take a step back. And it would have been okay if either of us at any point, the other one would have understood if we'd said, I can't at the minute. But we needed to. I need to. When we're not making things, my life is crap. I love it when we're making something. And when my life is difficult, us making something is the thing I look forward to and the thing I cling on to. And it's about knowing your breaking point as well. You know, there are days when we can't, and sometimes actually there's days where we scheduled rehearsal and we'll just be like, can we just go out for lunch? Or can we not do what we planned today? And we're flexible with that. Like, you do need to know when your breaking point is, and we are lucky because our breaking points are never at the same
But not yet.
Not yet.
Which is excellent. We generally can read the other person's place as well.
Yes, you have a look.
Thank you.
But yeah. I'm like, okay.
Anyone who knows me would know it.
And that's what's great about working with someone you really trust is there's this up and down of who's coping today, right? You be in charge today.
Yeah.
And you know, there's times where we are good friends, but we know not to ask each other how we're feeling. Mm. And you were telling a story which I'd forgotten about actually, but obviously you got me through it, was when I'd got into a car before a gig. It was a hen do.
Yeah, it was.
And I got into a car and everything was like peak stress levels. And I just said to you, don't ask me about my daughter until this gig is over.
Yeah.
It's just like, we need to just get through this. But that getting through that gig was actually just a calming bit for my mind, you know?
I'm talking about different types of trauma.
The trauma of running out of Prosecco.
That's annoying.
Traumatic. When you only pick up one bottle.
I know. Stupid.
We don't learn.
That's a rookie mistake. Honestly, we were going to be very sober tonight.
Well, we are very
well,
sober.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But no, yeah. It's not. But don't drink through your problems. That's another podcast. We're not ready for it yet.
But don't. But we were talking about all the different traumas. About they don't have to be huge, life-changing. They can be running out Prosecco.
That is.
And just to keep it light. Our Christmas trauma. It wasn't my trauma. Well, it was a little bit traumatic.
Well,
on stage trauma.
Talk about performing through trauma. We were performing at a Christmas lights turn on, and it was cold. And we were also performing. How many times that day? Four?
Probably. It was maybe
three or four times that day. So we were bouncing between places performing. And we had on our like Christmas dresses and our coats and stuff, and we'd arrived a bit early, so we had
a mulled wine.
We had a mulled wine, but I had been very conscious that because we were performing so many times, I didn't want to be dehydrated, so I'd been drinking lots of water.
Yeah.
And in between performances, I downed. It's probably not good vocal health, but I downed like a big bottle of water. And then it was cold, and so I was like, got onto stage, and I was like, oh, could do with going for a wee, but it's fine, don't worry about it.
The toilets were nowhere near us.
Nowhere near us, yeah, it was the middle of a car park or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so with the first song starts, whatever it was, Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells, yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, I really, really need a wee. Like, I hadn't been Loofah. This is probably TMI for a lot of people, yeah, but I haven't been to the Loofah for ages. I suddenly realised I was drinking like 2 pints of water, a mulled wine and a glass of Prosecco or something. And I was like, I really need a wee. So I'm thinking through the set list, like, no, there's no point where I can go for it. You can do this, Joni. You can do this.
We've got dance moves, dance routines, mm-hmm, and really like high notes, you know, big mm-hmm notes.
Yeah. So basically, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And about half an hour in, I like, my eyes are like welling up because it's hurting. I need to wee so badly. And my bladder is like, argh! And Susan's like, what song should we do next? And I'm like, oh no, I can't. What did I say to you?
You're like, I don't know anything.
I don't know.
And I'm not used to that.
And then I was like, 2 songs later, I'm like, I'm at the point where I'm like, I cannot do any dance moves. So I'm like, stood very prettily with my legs very firmly crossed and beginning to think, I'm going to have to wee myself. Oh my goodness, if... will anybody notice? I was looking around like, I've got black tights on. Will they notice? I don't know. And then I'm like, yes, they'll see it because we're on the stage. It's not like we're like hidden, like everyone will see it. But I want to
wee myself. We had a snow machine. I mean, the yellow snow.
We had a snow machine. And oh my goodness. And by the end of the set, I had tears like running down my face. And like, we were like, I actually think we got it.
We finished and you ran off.
And I was just like wiggled off, like went to the pub
For a wee, not a drink.
So that was, yeah, that's a traumatic sharing that actually, yeah, reliving that. But that has never happened to me before.
Well, I just didn't know what was going on.
It was a combination of the cold.
Yes.
However many pints of water.
Yeah.
And then just not actually thinking about it and
yeah,
for a wee. So, performing through trauma.
Yes.
Don't drink too much water, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that going to be the quote?
Didn't Hugh list the Hughes for me? Grant? The one from Greatest Showman?
Yes, I was about to say Hugh Jackson. What's his name?
Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson.
He wet himself on stage because he had been doing the same thing.
Oklahoma.
And I didn't wet myself, so I'm beating Hugh. Mm. And he's in good shape.
Yeah. So, do you hit the high note or do you?
Yeah. Not? What do you do? Go for that. Anyway, that's a whole other podcast. We should get an expert on for that. So we just wanted to be here as a reassurance to the people who might think they're odd in times of crisis, and who need to just keep going, because really, Susan's the only other person I've met in the world who does this too, and we wanted to talk about it because there must be other people who feel this way, and it was definitely the right way for us to go, mm-hmm, the last year or so.
Yeah, we had to keep showing up to keep our business,
yeah,
running, and find the moments of being able to have our own time in other moments, or together in other moments, but as a business. We did need to find that continuing process so that we would carry on working.
So our message to you, mm-hmm, is don't let anyone tell you how you should respond,
yeah,
to your trauma, because at some point you're going to have to deal with something that's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Whether it's just my Christmas lights lorry situation, yeah, or
the whole world falling apart around you. Yeah.
But whatever you're feeling, whether you're feeling magic
or tragic,
don't let anybody tell you what you should be doing. Just do it anyway. See you next time.
We hope.